Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Happy Friday. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day today. My name is Jack Roth. I am your real estate agent, your podcast host, and today your professional interviewer as we have our first guest joining us here on the podcast. This is episode 6 of Real Estate Roundup. Today's guests are Ryan and Dr. Francesca Byrne, founding partners of Cashflow Capital Club. Starting out like many of you, buying and selling single-family homes, they now own over 1,500 doors. Together, Ryan and Francesca are driven to help people achieve financial freedom by providing solid, multifamily-based investment opportunities in an environment of dependability, trust, and absolute clarity. Welcome to the show, Ryan and Francesca. Perfect. Well, let's just get straight into it then. So you guys own Cashflow Capital Club. So how did we get started with this? Kind of what was the inspiration for Cashflow Capital Club? How did you guys, you know, get started with everything?
Yeah, Cashflow Capital Club, I mean, what we are a commercial real estate multifamily investment company.
Okay.
What we're doing is we're buying underperforming asset classes in multifamily, which are small apartment buildings, essentially.
Okay, yeah.
To 200 units, typically mom and pop run. Mm-hmm. And we significantly increase the value of these assets and generate high returns for our invested capital with very low risk.
Yeah.
And we work with investors who mm-hmm. want to join us in these ventures. And we do that via partnerships.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Capital partners. That's what we do.
Yeah.
The inspiration for this was when we were doing it ourselves, mm-hmm. There was only so much we could do by ourselves.
Sure, sure.
And when we come across an opportunity that's outstanding, but we need help in order to do it, and that's mm-hmm. when these partnerships help people who want to invest in real estate, mm-hmm. and operators who are finding opportunities working together to generate very outstanding risk-adjusted returns.
Okay, interesting. And so how are you guys adding value to these assets? I know this isn't on our question sheet or anything like that, but that is one question. I'm sure there's going to be a couple that come up, you know, as we get through this episode and everything. But how are you guys adding value to these kind of mom and pop run smaller apartment complexes and everything?
Right. There's, you know, commercial multifamily differs from residential real estate.
Sure.
And the valuation, how we value each of these asset classes, mm-hmm. right? Residential, more of a speculative play. You're hoping the market is going to do what it did in the past, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely.
When you sell it, it'll be at a higher price than what you bought it. That's what you're mm-hmm. hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
In the commercial space, how you add value is by increasing the income of that asset. So okay. you have rents, you have expenses. What's left over is your income, your mm-hmm. operating income.
Mm-hmm.
And when you buy a commercial multifamily, you're not really buying the building or the asset, you're buying an income, right? And
yeah.
that income is determined, or the value of that income is determined by what they call a capitalization rate.
Okay.
And there's two ways we can increase value, increase income. One is by renovations. The mm-hmm. other is by improving the operations. So we are specifically value add through operation, like value add specialists via operations.
Okay.
We're looking
for interesting.
Poorly run assets,
yeah.
mismanaged assets,
yeah.
Where we can pinpoint the mm-hmm. direct line items. And those are typically rents being way under market.
Yeah.
Not much on the expense sides, where we can significantly boost the net income of the asset and instantly increase the value of that asset. Very straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that seems pretty straightforward. Like you said, there's only, you know, there's two factors there. It's expenses and income. And if you mm-hmm. can raise one and lower the other, then your net bottom line is going to be greater, you know, either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I was just going to add that by doing it in these, that size of apartments and staying mm-hmm. in kind of generalized areas, we're able to keep those expenses lower than we would if we were to just try to do it, you know, as a duplex or sure. smaller, because we're able to scale it and keep those expenses relatively low from that standpoint.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So how did you guys, you know, kind of going back to the inspiration for Cashflow Capital Club, was this kind of a team effort? Did one of you come up with the idea first? Was it kind of just like a realization as you guys had mentioned you had already been investing in these kind of assets? Was it, did it just get to a point where you're like, well, this kind of makes sense if we kind of start this for other people? How, like, what was the, you know, start of Cashflow Capital Club?
Yeah, so it was kind of the latter, like you're saying, we were doing it ourselves, and we would be having conversations with friends and families about what we were doing, and we were kind of not surprised, but a little bit that there was so much interest in what we were doing, and people saying, yeah. "How do we do this? Can we participate?" You know, and so it kind of came about organically, like, okay, this is a thing that people want and want to learn about and want to participate in, and so let's make this a more formal way to try to, you know, do that for people and bring other partners in.
Interesting. Yeah. Once we discovered the appetite for what we were doing, that kind of caught us by surprise. We weren't sure how many people would be interested or who has been investing in real estate and wanted to do it in a better way. Once we realized the appetite for these investments was there, because the returns are just phenomenal. They're fantastic. And the risk is relatively low.
Yeah.
Of course, people would want to join us. So once we realized it felt selfish to keep it to ourselves, we kind of had a moral imperative at that point to start sharing this with people who we want to work with. First, it started with friends and family, then our network, then mutual relationships, both in real estate and her profession. I mean, she's working busy physicians who frankly don't have the time to shop real estate on weekends, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, I think that, you know, a lot of people kind of look at real estate investing as a big scary monster, but everybody kind of wants to do it. And so it's cool. It's cool to see what you guys are doing. You're kind of breaking it down into a very like easy to digest kind of piece and be like, hey, you know, we're here to help you. We're here to work with you. We kind of, you know, take over everything. And so my assumption is that it's more on the passive side for the people that invest with you. Is that correct?
We've done it. We've done it many ways. But most of our investors are passive. It's what people want. We're dialed in. We're full time. We're multifamily operators. The system has been built. The people are in place. The opportunities have been found. So the work is taken care of. And it is a lot of work. These are actively managed businesses that we are running. And investors want a good return on their money in a way that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah.
So that, but there are opportunities on smaller deals to have joint ventures. That's another way we can do this. But most of our opportunities that we've made available are via syndications.
Okay.
Where we have general partners who are the operators, find the deal, take on the debt, assume the risk, working with limited partners, investing together and owning a stake directly in the asset itself.
Interesting. Okay. That seems like a pretty good setup that you guys have got going. And Ryan, I know that, you know, you and I we're in the same office together. Do you still do, you know, single family residential real estate, or have you transitioned fully into this multifamily kind of asset management? Because I'm kind of curious what the natural progression of that is, because I think that a lot of agents eventually get into the investment side of things, whether they are representing investors or they become investors themselves. So I'm just kind of curious what your transition was. Is this now the full-time kind of gig and then it's residential on the side, or, you know, what is the kind of layout you've got going?
Yeah. I mean, time is, you know, our limited resource, right?
Sure.
There's only so many places you can be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am in multifamily full-time 100%.
Okay.
Service residential occasionally as needed for people who need it. Or existing relationships.
Yeah, kind of that sphere of influence that we talk about.
But the multifamily space, there's just so much opportunity and so much work required. We can't spread ourselves too thin.
Sure.
Francesca, you can describe what you're doing.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I work full time as mm-hmm. a physician. And so mm-hmm. I represent more the limited partner kind of, I'm the liaison, if you will, to that, okay. because that's what I was and, you know, technically still am.
Yeah.
And so what we found, especially with physicians that, you know, want to keep doing their job, but that they want ways for passive income, like Ryan said, where they're not having to do stuff on the weekends or manage a short-term rental or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping, and that by providing some of that financial freedom, that then it allows doctors, and again, I'm including myself in that,
yeah.
or any professional to do their job well and not have that extra added stress, you know, sure. on top of it. And so it yeah. definitely has helped a lot of people in that way.
No, that's awesome. That's just like Ryan said, you don't want to spread yourself too thin, because then you're not providing value in the right places, essentially, to the people that, you know, are kind of relying on that and taking on that risk of, you know, working with you guys. They don't want to have to worry about anything else extra and be like, well, I don't know if they're committed or not. You know, that would not be a great, you know, business practice or anything. So speaking of physicians and everything, do you guys have like sort of a niche clientele base, or is it kind of everyone and anyone? Because like you said, you're kind of the liaison for, you know, the general partners and everything. So it's geared, Cashflow Capital Club is geared towards working individuals that don't necessarily have the time to, you know, manage a real estate portfolio. So I'm just kind of curious kind of what the clientele base looks like for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it has been a lot of physician investors, mainly because that's mm-hmm. who I'm around, and that's who... Yeah. you know, who my colleagues are, but we don't discriminate based on yeah. occupation.
yeah.
So no, we're, awesome. We take all comers, anyone who's interested in,
yeah.
in it, for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, also there, we have physician investors, but we also have real estate professionals.
Okay.
Many, mm-hmm. many who are investing with us specifically because mm-hmm. of the tax advantages
mm-hmm.
that are accessible by specifically real estate professionals, that tax designation.
Yeah.
You would qualify as one. I qualify as one. I mean, yeah. they're humongous. Mm-hmm. And you get those in multifamily. You don't get them as much in single family investing. Yeah. And it is very, very meaningful. It's a conversation you sure. want to have about, you know, bonus depreciation, cost mm-hmm. segregation, mm-hmm. Wiping out personal income with your yeah. tax advisor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
and how you can mm-hmm. qualify. Yeah. I mean, we do. Mm-hmm. physicians do who have mm-hmm. passive investments and mm-hmm. in other activities and in medicine.
Yeah.
But basically we're looking for people who want to invest in real estate
yeah.
and do it in a very meaningful, profitable way
yeah.
without taking huge amounts of risk and mm-hmm. putting a lot of stress
mm-hmm.
And work on their plate. I mean,
yeah.
we
yeah.
worked with investors who dabbled in the Airbnb and then they mm-hmm. realized they're running a one-man hotel.
Yeah.
Unperforming, or they're even in single family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of events. We're going to have future events
mm-hmm.
Where economies impact renters and sure. you're in a single family home. You lose yeah. a tenant. You lose your ability to pay mm-hmm. the money you borrowed mm-hmm. to buy that property.
Yeah.
All these single family things, they pencil great. They're great investments. It's how we got started.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And we didn't have to start there, mm-hmm. but
we didn't know any better, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I think that's kind of the default, you know, path that people take is they go, oh, yeah. I want to, you know, get into, you know, real estate investment. So they go buy a house to yeah. rent it out. And then, like you said, you know, if there's an economic event that happens where, you know, somebody, they maybe get priced out of their rent because they lose their job or something, mm-hmm. all of a sudden your business. Yeah, exactly.
Or a kitchen fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or kitchen exactly. Fire.
Or a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. Like all these things. And all it takes is that one person to move out and then your business, you know, because real estate investing is a business in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you have zero revenue. So I could definitely see that by scaling that up and you've got now 200 doors under management that you've invested in. One person moves out, you know, it's not a huge deal. That's really nothing. That's a drop in the bucket at the end of the day.
And single family residential, great investment over mm-hmm. the long term.
Sure.
But you better be significantly bankrolled for those events.
Yeah.
Events will happen.
Yeah.
It is guaranteed they will happen.
Yeah.
Some capital expenditure that is unexpected mm-hmm. will wipe out all of your cash flows for the entire year in next year. It's going to happen. It happened to us.
Yeah.
Some people can manage that and some people can't, and they figure it out along the way. The little $100 and $200 cash flow positive a month per door is really not enough. I mean,
no, I mean, that's paying dinner, you know, twice a week, maybe, or twice a month, I should say, maybe. Yeah. It's really interesting to kind of see, because like I had mentioned earlier, like a lot of people look at real estate investing as a big scary monster. And I think a lot of that comes from like what we're talking about with economic events and single family homes and everything. But when, you know, you think about, oh my gosh, you know, how am I going to manage an apartment complex? It seems like you guys really kind of got it dialed in to where everybody's kind of collaborating in the best of ways to make it work so that, you know, somebody doesn't have to take out, like you said, $20, $30 million to purchase this apartment complex and, you know, hope for the best, hope that they know what they're doing enough to actually run this thing. So it is interesting. So I'm kind of curious. It sounds like you guys got started with Cashflow Capital Club pretty quickly once you kind of realized the opportunities and the advantages of doing this multifamily asset management. So what was the timeline of kind of getting started, kind of, you know, getting off the ground and getting to the point where you are today?
It was a long time. It was a long time to get this started. And because your story about everyone being stressed out about the scary monster, and being able to wrap your head around the complexity of an apartment building, it's overwhelming. It takes a lot of time. Not everyone has that time. So we knew multifamily real estate was where we wanted to be because of the returns, because of the risk-adjusted returns, because of the profitability and the opportunity.
Yeah.
So we started our education like 10 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Reading the books, going to the seminars, doing the things. And then, but being able to find, run, finance, all these different pieces. I mean, while you're working your full-time job, it causes a little bit of paralysis.
Sure.
And because we had a do-it-yourself mindset, right? It's like, how are we going to do all of these things? So we start like, it's like, okay, let's do single family because we can execute on that. We can do a single family like this weekend, right? And make that happen. But always kept going with the multifamily research, looking into it. How can we do it? And our big breakthrough moment where we accelerated our growth and where things rapidly happened was working with other individuals to fill the gaps that weren't in place. We realized that multifamily really is a team sport.
Sure.
You can do that through partnerships or through good hires, but you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, right? No, and there's a system out there that's been working for a lot of people. And, you know, it works for a reason. So why not take advantage of that and kind of tap into that side of things? Like you said, don't reinvent the wheel. You don't make it too complicated. It's, you know, it's only as complicated as you make it.
Yeah. And so our background, you know, my background specifically was analytical. You know, I do everything in an Excel sheet. But multifamily is a relationship game.
Yeah.
It's all about relationships, both operationally and finding these opportunities. And then working with people to make them happen on the investment side as well. So once we started forming good, solid relationships with people who have been doing it, that's when things just rapidly accelerated for us. And now we know that, you know, it's counterintuitive, but the larger the opportunity, the easier it is to do everything.
It's just kind of getting over that mental hump at first, I assume. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, this is a huge, you know, complex or whatever, in terms of like what you guys tend to invest in. You know, if it's on that upper echelon of 200 doors versus, you know, the one you bought previously was maybe 25 doors. That is a huge jump. And it's probably a little bit of a scary moment to look at that and go, okay, I guess we're, you know, really getting into this thing now.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of our history. You know, our hand was forced a little bit into multifamily because there's only so much you can do in single family residential, and you'll hit a ceiling quickly in your W-2. There's a thing called a debt to income ratio.
Yeah.
you know, we bought 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to buy a bigger personal home and another investment property. And mm-hmm. the lender will say, hey, you can do one or the other, but you yeah. can't do both. And we're like, why? We have the money yeah. in the bank. We're ready to go. What's the yeah. problem here?
Yeah.
We're, you know, our credit rating is great. It's like debt to income ratio. We hit that mm-hmm. Pretty quickly. Some people hit that, the 10 unit or 10 single mm-hmm. family mm-hmm. ceiling. And then to keep going that route, you have to take on, you know, the out of the box lending opportunities yeah. to make mm-hmm. that happen, which yeah. we weren't comfortable with.
Yeah.
So the next step was participating as on the limited partnership side mm-hmm. In multifamily. Through those relationships led us to being multifamily operators.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
And yeah. then it kind of did snowball.
It did snowball after, yeah. after that. Yeah. One deal led to another. One mm-hmm. group of investors led to another group of investors. Mm-hmm. You know, that the again, the investment appetite in the marketplace mm-hmm. for this type of thing, working with people mm-hmm. who people can feel like they know, trust, have a good working relationship mm-hmm. with.
Can relate to. Can
yeah, relate exactly. To.
Was
yeah, because I mean, it's not like you guys are a huge corporation. You know, it's the two of you. You're very personable people. And, you know, people can actually go meet the face of Cashflow Capital Club. You can go out to lunch. You can sit down. You can get coffee. And, you know, I think that's a huge part of that relationship building and also the exponential growth that comes with, I think, building relationships naturally. Because I always reference the 6 degrees of freedom, I believe it's called, where, you know, you're only 6 people away from any connection in the world. And a lot of that just ties into if you know a group of investors that is, you know, maybe 5 people that want to invest with you, chances are they probably also know 5 people each. And so all of a sudden this one lunch has turned into potentially 30 more people that want to invest with you. And so I could see that exponential growth happening very quickly once you kind of got started with these larger assets, like you said, kind of mm-hmm. taking on the big, scary, you know, 200 unit and just kind of getting over the mental hump of it all. So I had another question for you. So as far as different investment vehicles, how does Cashflow Capital Club differ from, say, like a 401k, a bond, a REIT, investing just like in the stock market? We talked about commodities a little bit before we, you know, got on this call and everything. So how is this different? You've mentioned risk adverse or, you know, risk adjusted investment quite a few times. So I'm kind of curious what, you know, that turns into.
Yeah,
we can talk
about how there's two ways, you know, when you're looking at asset classes and opportunities, mm-hmm. You know, structurally, when we offer up an opportunity, we're offering up a share class okay. to have a direct investment in the asset itself, similar to like when you buy shares in Apple, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That share class is limited. So you share in the returns, but you don't have to deal with the operations, similar when you buy a stock on the market. So we're not a fund.
Yeah. Okay.
And we get to cherry pick the opportunities. And once we sure. have them, then we go and raise the capital for that opportunity, see who wants to participate in it or not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
From a risk return profile, mm-hmm. this is an incredible asset class, specifically multifamily asset class.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we invest, we want a good return.
Sure.
But we don't want to take a lot of risk. It sure. has to be some relationship there where you mm-hmm. have mm-hmm. a return over risk ratio, right?
Yeah.
You want high returns and low risk.
Yeah.
That ratio is called the Sharpe ratio.
Okay.
Google this and look this up and look at Sharpe ratio and how mm-hmm. it varies against different asset classes.
Mm-hmm.
The commercial multifamily asset class blows away everything else.
Interesting. Yeah.
Relative.
Yeah.
So you're getting the returns above and beyond what you get in the equities market, large cap, mm-hmm. small mm-hmm. cap offerings
yeah.
That are in the S&P 500, for example. Mm-hmm. But your risk is almost as low as municipal bonds.
Interesting.
For that reason, it's a spectacular investment. So that when we say risk adjusted returns,
yeah.
we're talking returns that can outperform other offerings that your financial advisor would mm-hmm. put in front of you mm-hmm. for way less risk.
Yeah.
I mean, wait, yeah. It's not even close. And, mm-hmm. and oddly enough, REITs are on the opposite end of that spectrum.
Is it? Okay. A lot higher risk, lower return.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's interesting because I was trying to figure out, you know, last night when I was preparing for this and everything, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, saving for retirement or investing or, you know, I've got this much in my 401k. And, you know, those are all really popular investment vehicles because they've been around forever. But I don't know that many people necessarily know the Sharpe ratio of their 401k or their investments or anything. I'm sure, you know, their financial advisor has an idea of that and can hopefully get them into some sort of, you know, low risk investment portfolio. But I think the average consumer or the average investor is probably just going with popular picks, you know, just like you said, S&P 500, you know, things like that, that a lot of people tend to invest in. So it is interesting to kind of see this. It's almost like a newer, I don't want to call it new because multifamily has been around forever, but a newer way to invest into multifamily that is super beneficial, it sounds, to everybody. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just becoming more accessible.
Yeah, yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Just people. A lot more accessible.
We, yeah. Francesca and I have been investors our entire professional lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I started my career on Wall Street. Many of my clients were hedge funds, private yeah. equity firms. But we never got invited to participate in those investments. We had the same investment opportunities that everyone does, right? We go to yeah. Fidelity. We pick this index over here, maybe mm-hmm. a hidden gem sort of Motley Fool thing over here and single family homes. And then we dream about being able to afford like a fiveplex or a six.
Yeah. Plex, yeah. Yeah.
Something like that. And, yeah. and the good stuff were traditionally saved for private clients. Mm-hmm. Ultra high net worth
sure.
individuals. It was sort of a closed, you know, a closed space.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of the secret club that nobody gets into.
Yeah.
And then once we discovered this,
mm-hmm.
and as an investor, you're looking at the returns and you're looking at the simplicity, mm-hmm. You're removing the speculation,
mm-hmm.
And the business plan is easily executable. Being able to do this for ourselves, we were happy to share this with our friends and family. Once we got the feedback and investments from yeah. them, yeah. it just kind of realized what we were dealing with and what we had.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure once they see the potential, once they see the actual, you know, tangible mm-hmm. Kind of gain from doing this with you guys, it's probably a pretty quick decision to, oh, let's, you know, invest again. Let's do this again. Let's tell a friend, you know, this is a okay. good kind of deal. Go ahead.
I was just going to add before you move on.
Yeah.
I think another important difference that a lot of people like mm-hmm. with this type of investments with multifamily compared mm-hmm. to your traditional stocks, bonds, 401ks
yeah.
is that transparency, which you kind of touched on of knowing, okay, where exactly does the return come from? You know, mm-hmm. if I invest in Fidelity, I'm kind of trying to guess how they're, you know,
yeah, exactly.
they're going to bring me money back. But yeah. with our deals, I mean, we'll give you as much information as mm-hmm. you want. We actually do walk through each line by line item of, okay, this is what the rents are. This mm-hmm. is what our goal is. This is our timeline, you know, so you mm-hmm. can actually see and understand, and it's tangible, like you said, where, yeah. Where that value is. And a lot of people do like that,
yeah,
knowing sure. that and being a little more involved on that side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Part of the fun of what we do and what we offer is that mm-hmm. educational aspect of multifamily and sharing this with how it works. Mm-hmm. So we run an investor operator relationships where it's inform and enrich, right?
Yeah.
We want open transparency. We want people to understand and get excited about the opportunities. And we can only do that by sort of going through the details of how yeah. everything works.
Mm-hmm.
We want to work with people who have a similar mindset to us, similar
sure.
goals.
Sure.
And so we're going after the same objectives and who is this for, you know, just to be clear, our average investor is in with us for $100,000 to $150,000.
Okay.
In investment, we've had investment opportunities open to people for as little as $50,000.
Okay.
And not only are people using their personal, you know, funds that are in the bank, we've also opened this up to individuals who have stuff in their retirement accounts, IRAs. Okay.
Yeah.
401ks,
mm-hmm.
and introducing them to a way for them to self-direct mm-hmm. into these types of opportunities. Because mm-hmm. again, oh, you know, the options available to many people yeah. in IRAs or 401ks are limited to the products mm-hmm. of that administrator. And being able to self-direct is very straightforward and simple, and people are participating that way also.
Yeah.
So this is very accessible to most people mm-hmm. and for much less money. I mean, like mm-hmm. you want to invest in real estate here in Dallas and you want to be in the highest yeah. appreciating area.
yeah.
Get 300,000 minimum ready mm-hmm. for a down payment, repairs, mm-hmm. all of that.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Something sure. that's more attractive for 50K. Mm-hmm. You know, it says a lot about, you know, it's like, okay, that's doable.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not kind of thing. So mm-hmm. we are running a little bit out of time here on my my Zoom recording. It tells me I've only got 2 minutes left here. So I want to wrap mm-hmm. this up really quick before we get shut out. So where can people find some more information about Cashflow Capital Club, connect with you guys, you know, just kind of get some more of these details and maybe have a conversation one-on-one with you guys?
Yeah. Go to CashflowCapitalClub.com. CashflowCapitalClub.com. Okay. You can request an invitation, speak directly to us. We love hearing investor stories, what people are looking for, sharing what we do. Yeah. We like being accessible. We're allowed to do that. We work with a limited number of investors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Find out more about us there and connect directly with us there.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me today. It was wonderful having you on. It was a ton of good information and everything. And I'm super excited for you guys getting this started. And hopefully you guys continue to exponentially grow.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.
Of course.